The Dow is breaking that magical and historical barrier of 25,000. And by so doing, it sets off all kinds of records, all kinds of prognostications about where that means we're going to be at the end of 2019 and all of that. But I want to make it practical if I can right now for our listeners, because probably everyone listening to the program, or most everyone, have investments. They have IRAs. They have their 401ks. They have their retirement plans and are all watching carefully what happens to them, and they look at this and say, wow, the Dow is up to 25,000, and some are saying that's up 25% for the year, actually maybe more depending, but they may be looking at their own returns of what they've made on their investments here by the end of 2018 and saying, the two may not at all correlate. So, William, what I'd like you to do, just from an overall principle perspective, is correlate what people hear and see relative to the Dow and so forth, and how that connects or doesn't connect, perhaps, to their earnings and investments on 401ks and IRA plans.
Well, there is a disconnect to some degree because, you know, the Dow really only represents 30 stocks, and there's thousands of stocks out there. You know, you have the Russell 2000, for example. And so when people are comparing their portfolio to the S&P 500 or to the Dow or any other benchmark that's out there, they have to realize that most mutual fund money managers, in some case, I've read different articles where 85% of mutual fund money managers underperform the S&P 500, so they don't beat the benchmark. And those that do in the following year are even less. So a lot of times there are a lot of people out there that profess what we call passive asset money management, where they just passively put money into the S&P 500 or the Dow or to the Russell 2000 or the NASDAQ. And so they're buying a bunch of stocks as opposed to individual stocks. The problem with that, though, Sam, is that in mutual funds that most people own now, and if you own the S&P 500, if you have any moral religious beliefs or moral beliefs, and you're invested in the S&P 500, you're going to find a conflict in what you believe in and what you're invested in. So a majority of people are invested in mutual funds that are underperforming the S&P 500, and on top of that, they're invested in things that if they knew that they were investing in, they probably wouldn't be invested in that particular fund.
Well, that's interesting because that's what is referred within the industry as clean investing. You're talking about investing in stocks that are not, as you're saying, contributing or being a part of the kinds of things that Christians would be opposed to, such as pornography or alcohol or drugs or Planned Parenthood, you know, some things of that type. That's what you're talking about, correct?
Yeah, I mean, biblically responsible investing, BRI investing, has become much, much more popular in 2017. We've seen a tremendous amount of growth in the ETF space that's out there for BRI, as well as the mutual funds themselves are breaking, you know, $1 billion for the first time ever. They're seeing very big inflows. And we're also seeing churches and certain denominations actually investing their 401ks into these funds that are, you know, revolve around biblical responsible investing. There's also funds that are SRIs, which are socially responsible investing, but they're really totally two different types of investments. That being said, going back to your point about why the S&P, you know, the Dow is up for a couple of reasons. I think we have a president that has been able to keep a promise of changing the tax code that has very big impact, which has not been baked into the market, in my opinion, into the 25,000 Dow. I think there's still room to the upside on that because companies are going to repatriate money, they're going to buy equipment, they're going to hire more people. And you have to remember that this melt-up in the market is not just because of the president and earnings. Earnings have been great in 2017, but the rest of the world, you look at China's GDP, it's at 6.5%. The rest of the world, the first, second world countries are becoming first world countries, and third world countries are becoming second world countries. Now, there are some exclusions to that, like Venezuela and Iran and so forth, where you really don't have democracies, but you're seeing a very big sea change in countries like India, where before they didn't have roads and schools. Now they have highways and high schools and grade schools, and they have cell towers and flat screen TVs and computers. So we're seeing the rest of the world catch up to the United States, and that's actually positive for our stock market.